You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls.
Welcome to Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit the Desperate Housewives. I'm Julia, and as you may know at this point, I am watching this series for the first time.
And I'm Jordan. As always, I am a veteran of Wisteria Lane, and this is not my first time going through the show.
We hope that you're watching along with us either way. You can do this on Amazon Prime or Hulu. It's your choice. This is not a requirement. We're happy to have anyone just listening through with us.
Absolutely.
As we've said, neither of us has experience in housewifery.
No, being not at all.
Being married, having children, that's not our jam.
Nope.
Whatever you decide to do, watch the show with us as we recap or not and just listen. We do ask that you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Apple Music or whatever the hell it is, and follow us on Spotify if you have a chance.
We're also on social media. Instagram is where we're most active, as well as Twitter. So please follow us on those. Instagram is going to be at Desperate Pod. Twitter is going to be at Desperate_Pod.
We're going to break down how this goes. Typically, we recap you on where we're at with all the ladies. Mm-hmm. And then we go into our Desperate Deeds segment, where we cover something desperate in our lives, in a friend's lives, in society or pop culture, because this is a show about desperation and what we do in desperate times. And it's about women who settled for unruly men, to be honest. But we all can relate to these scenarios and we all do desperate things. So we have that segment to get you warmed up before we dive into our recap.
Mm-hmm.
We spend a majority of the time on the recap. We like to end with a really juvenile game of fuck, marry, kill.
I mean, I think that's a great way to, like, come out with who, you know, won or lost an episode.
Well, when I explained it to somebody, they were like, how do you do that every time? And I'm like, well, you choose a different character.
Yeah.
It's not like you choose by episode and by action.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We do fuck, marry, kill, and then we like to rate this episode on a scale of 1 to 5 apples. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going to happen here. Today, we're watching season 1, episode 7, titled Anything You Can Do.
Mm-hmm.
As in, anything you can do, I can do better.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah. I'm pretty excited for this episode.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited because last time we got some real movement and we saw some suspect activity. Yeah. Well, we've been seeing suspect activity every
time.
From day one. Yeah, from day one. But I guess we got really questionable actions on parts of people that we didn't see before.
Yeah.
Last episode, the theme was combat in suburbia or war. Like Mary Alice Young voiced over last time about how people do combat in suburbia.
Yeah.
And we saw this in all the storylines. The ladies were shining examples of, you know, this competitive spirit waging wars on each other and the wars within themselves. Lynette, she maybe had the most riveting storyline. She volunteered herself to make costumes for her son's play at Barcliff Academy. She's new there. She kind of squared off with Macy Gibbons, who's this ultra mom at the school.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like the way that they were depicting Little Red Riding Hood, and she volunteered herself to make the costumes so that she could get a rewrite.
Yeah.
This is something that pushed her over the edge. She's struggling to stay afloat and just do all the mom things and do them well. And Lynette's not used to that. She was a former CMO until her husband made her quit her job. And this put her over the edge, and she asked another mom, how do you handle it all? And this mom just whipped out a pill bottle and was like, with this. It happened to be ADD medication. That was what was up with Lynette. She at first was like, no, I just smoked my crack. She like made a joke about it, but then the next day she's like, actually, can I have some?
Yeah, she's like, oh,
and
shit.
So that was her storyline. She took it, she killed it, she made the costumes. Everybody was like, these costumes are great.
Mm-hmm.
And then she threatened to square off with Macy in the parking lot.
Yeah,
it was great. The second best storyline from last episode was that Bree and Rex are still in their marriage counseling, and Rex and Dr. Goldfein have private sessions. And mm-hmm. in those private sessions, he said, Bree can't connect during sex, and this is a problem. They suggest a sexual surrogate. They bring this up to Bree. And Bree reacted the way I would if I was in therapy with mm-hmm. my husband and father of my two children. He suggested yeah. this. And she said, when's this midlife crisis going to be over? It's starting to tick me off. But she gets the message mm-hmm. that something's wrong in her sex life. She needs to fix it. Runs into Dr. Goldfein. Kind of talks it over with him and tries to have sex with hot. She tries to have hot sex. She does a fantasy role play thing mm-hmm. in his hotel room. The hottest boobs we've ever seen.
I think she just has a great.
I think they were real.
Pair of boobs.
We didn't talk about it, but I'm sure that they're real.
Yeah.
And
no, they look. Yeah.
Yeah. They look voluptuous and juicy. So, so if you want to go check out that scene, it's in episode 6.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. With your partner.
Oh, honestly.
Yeah. Either way, sex doesn't happen. She's really hot, as we've just said. Rex denies her. It's humiliating. She goes home. And he does this because she is bothered by, like, a burrito that's about to drip mm-hmm. on the floor. He's like, piss off. I don't like you, I guess. Don't want to have sex anymore. They talk about divorce one more time. He comes over. He's like, the papers are on the counter. She's like, what? I tried to have sex with you. You humiliated me. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're a whore. Because she says, fuck me right here, right now. Yeah. I'm down. And she's like, I think the disconnect's coming from you. And he can't handle that. Calls her a whore and dips. Doesn't tell her what he wants in bed. And that's
and
that.
And I want to know what
so
it is.
So are you guys ready? No, we have two more storylines.
So the last two storylines we kind of go through would be the first is going to be Gabby. As I pointed out in the last episode, I feel like I kind of stooped to some new lows here in my mm-hmm. humble opinion. She finds out basically that her mother-in-law has a gambling addiction, like a serious one. So one of the many ways that she tries to get rid of her mother-in-law so she can go have sex with a 16-year-old child is basically taking her to a casino and leaving her there. And what does Juanita do? She maxes out 15 grand.
15 grand, you guys.
15 grand. Gabby thinks that, like, she's got her. Now she has her. She offers to help her cover this up. And this gives, like, Juanita a change of heart. She thinks that, okay, maybe Gabby's not having an affair. But that all gets squashed pretty much immediately when Carlos tells Juanita that he spoke to Gabby about the gambling addiction and, you know, talks about how she handled it. And this, it all clicks. Mama Solis puts the pieces together. And the next thing she sees is Gabby kind of intentionally ignoring John, like a little too obviously trying to ignore John.
Yeah.
And earlier in the episode, she mentions to Carlos that it's the people that she doesn't speak to that you should be nervous about. And she decides that she suspects now that it's John. She's correct, but
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And then Susan's story last week, we didn't get any Mike or Edie, but Susan did a bunch of digging and she kind of moved the Mary Alice story along. She discovers that Zach is at a rehab center for troubled teens and she is able to sneak Julie in where Julie learns about someone named Dana. Zach thinks something bad happened. That's why his mom killed herself. And it has to do with something that maybe he did. Susan does some digging, but she isn't able to find anything about a Dana. However, we do pan over to see that, you know, there's a yard sale at the beginning of the episode and she bought a glass bowl from Paul and he wrapped it in a blanket. And while Susan hasn't put it together, the blanket does say Dana on it. So we know that Dana was probably a baby, I guess, if there's a blanket.
If you can piece things together, yeah. If you have half a brain.
So that kind of tied up all of our storylines. And they all kind of set us up for some interesting stuff in this next episode. I mean, yeah. Mama Solis knows what's going on. Lynette might have a new addiction.
Great jumping off point.
Who's Dana?
Yeah, who's Dana? We still have the mystery of the note related to Mary Alice Young's suicide. Yeah. The note is pretty mysterious. Paul hired a PI to look into it. Mm-hmm. Zach is in a juvenile center because he has psychiatric issues. They think, where the fuck is Mike Delfino? What's up with Mrs. Huber?
And I'm going to say it again just because I have to. Paul didn't just hire a PI. He hired Shaft. I've decided he hired Shaft himself.
He hired Shaft. Okay. This is another one of those crossovers. Like,
this
we have
is a good
John,
crossover.
I haven't mentioned the John Tucker Must Die crossover in a while. But that crossover, the Brenda Strong Braless Wonder crossover, mm-hmm. I think that's where
and now Shaft is. He's in business. They hired Shaft.
We see, like, the outside of his business. Mm-hmm. It's like Shaft's. Yes. So before we get into our breakdown, We are going to do our own little desperate deeds.
I actually think I have a celebrity one this time.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to roll with a celebrity one.
Let's do that. Mine is, I can't even say it, as incontinence related. I don't know. I know that might make people uncomfy. It's not my own story, I promise. But I went to visit family. You watch your family get a little bit older. You're like, oh, God, I don't want to get old. That's one of these problems.
Yeah.
We went out for a walk because my family member just got like a new dog. So we were like walking the dog, hanging out. As we were a while, like we went to get a coffee. And so we got the coffee, but they mentioned like, oh, there's a public bathroom in there. And I didn't think anything of it. Like we were at like these apartment, not an apartment. It was like on the water. I don't know. It was just some sort of business complex. And I'm like, okay, I didn't really think about it. And then we went on a walk and it wasn't like a really lengthy walk or anything, but they're mentioning like, oh, like I kind of have to go to the bathroom, I have to go pee, and I'm like, all right, like I'm still not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like kind of round, she's like, oh, we need to go back to the car, we need to like go, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really have a schedule, that's fine with me, I don't care, like not that it wasn't fun or whatever, but so we are like not that far from the car. That was the worst part about it. I mean, but also then once you get to the car, you still have to drive somewhere. They're like, I have to pee. And I'm like, yeah, you said that. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, we're on our way to the car. What's the big deal? Or like, we could have gone. There were businesses. I don't mm-hmm. know what the plan was. But I know this mindset where you're like, what do I do?
Yeah.
They're like, I have to pee. And then they're like, I have to pee right now. And I'm like,
you're like, this second.
I was like, well, I remained really calm because what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I've been there. I've definitely pissed myself as an adult. Like, I've done it. So I'm like, what do you do? Like, I know how you feel, but I just said, and this is completely what I would have done. I'm like, just pee your pants. I'm like, just clean it up later. I don't,
like, this is where
you
we're
probably
at.
Have towels in your car. If mm-hmm. you're a regular adult, you probably have something. I was just like, just pee your pants. And they're like, no, it's going to go down my leg. It's going to go down my pants. And I'm like, well, that's smart. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess I've only peed my pants drunk. Like, so they're like, no. They definitely just popped a squat.
Well,
so
you know what? Desperate times call for desperate
definitely
measures.
Just peed in a bush somewhere. I was trying to stand guard. I was like, I don't know what to do. I had my arms out. And just, it was, I mean, handled with grace.
Yeah.
Handled with grace. It was a desperate moment. We made it out okay.
Good. Well, I'm glad you guys made it out of there.
I mean, you have a whole different, you see your family in a whole different light sometimes. I'm like, oh, you're just, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so my desperate deed is not mine, nor is it someone I know's. It's actually one of my favorite celebrity desperate deeds. I thought I'd throw one in the mix this week.
We need it.
From a couple of washed up celebrities, I guess, at this point.
It's the best kind.
So does anybody remember Robin Thicke, the singer that did that like big hit?
Dirty. No. I was going to say, I was singing a Justin Timberlake song.
No, but like,
I know you want it.
Yeah, that one.
You know, it was like rapey though.
Yeah, it was super rapey. Everyone was like, that song was like everywhere. And then everyone decided it was rapey and they were like, oh. Well, he was married to actress Paula Patton, right?
Okay.
Who's in like Mission Impossible 4 and shit. But
one of my
favorite like embarrassing celebrity things is he like cheated on her a bunch after that song was huge because he was like famous. Because
he finally got famous.
Yeah, he got like big time famous. He cheated on her a bunch. It was like super public. So she was like left his ass and he put out an album called Paula where it was all these songs like begging her to come back. Yes, the album like flopped. Like hardcore. No one bought
it. It was like a weird bedroom mixtape at that point.
It was. And then she didn't come back to him. And now that album's forever out there as like his desperate
attempt.
It's like
on his Spotify.
Yes. And he's remarried now. He's remarried. Can you imagine?
How embarrassing.
How fucking embarrassing. That's one of my favorite celebrity like desperate deeds because it's like peak desperation. Like what is that going to do? The whole everything about that, his career just tanked. And you know how I know this? Because he performed at my work for one of our events.
Whoa, I think performing at your work for an event is the desperate actor.
That might be the most desperate deed.
Stop.
So that desperation, the trajectory of Robin Thicke and his life just...
Whoa, that's actually like our best desperate deed. Like, forget our personal stories. This shit rules. That was crazy.
Did you enjoy that roller coaster of celebrity gossip?
Yes. It was like just obscure enough. It wasn't like I had beyond me.
I had to.
He also, if you guys just want to look him up on Spotify. It's the douchiest picture. Look at this picture. I'm showing it to Jordan.
I can't.
Right now.
He's
this
weird.
Cheetah print, like open. Oh my god, open chest. Mm-hmm. He's wearing like a couple chains. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. His second most famous song is called Lost Without You, and I hope that's on the Paula album.
It's so embarrassing.
I don't even know if it's on. I can't see it, but this is great. No. I can't. How do you know that?
Because I remember when it happened, like, I just would see it, and I don't know. I read, like, Entertainment Weekly, and they did a music review on how terrible the album was and how pathetic. Basically were like, this is pathetic. Like, leave her alone.
It was, like, a Pitchfork review.
Oh, you know what? I actually think I read a whole article, too, about, like, it was, like, they were using it as an example of, like, men. Like, she just wanted to leave him. And what did he do? He victimized himself by putting out a whole desperate album that now she's the jerk if she doesn't come back to him after this, like, begging. And
it's
like, and so the article was, like, criticizing those actions because it's like, now you're putting her in the position where she's been embarrassed publicly by your behavior. And now, like, you're trying to get her to, like, I don't know. So it was a good article. And I just remember being like, yeah, fuck that. That's super shitty. Like, what the hell? Oh, my God. You want to hear some of the song titles from Paula?
Yes.
You're My Fantasy, Get Her Back, Still Madly Crazy, Love Can Grow Back, Too Little Too Late. Wow, so Robin Thicke out here stealing song titles.
Not even creative.
Boo.
Not even creative.
I'm going to have to say a hard no to that
hard
one.
Hard no. Well, we got you inspired. I hope there's probably somebody shutting off the podcast right now.
They're like, why are they talking so much about Robin
like,
Thicke?
I just wanted to know about Desperate Housewives. Well, we are going to go into our recap. We're going to go watch the episode. Mm-hmm. So feel free to pause us and watch it yourself and come back and join us after, or just slide right into that recap when we come back. We always like to say, we like you to be safe when you watch. Mm-hmm. So make sure to Buckle up.
Season 1, Episode 7, Anything You Can Do. Susan's first date with Mike is postponed when a woman from his past comes to visit. Edie and Susan are determined to find out more. Lynette plans a business dinner to help Tom, but she ends up outshining him during his presentation. Rex tries to win his children's affection with gifts. His presence caused trouble he never imagined. Oh. Jealousy overcomes Gabby when John starts dating a younger girl and they decide to say goodbye for good. Wah, wah. Paul and his PI prepare to pull the trigger on an irreversible decision. Sexy.
This shit is out of control.
This episode, I know, this is like, oh man.
Jordan and I talked about it and I was like, did any of these episodes, season one, like win an Emmy?
Well, they should have. This is crazy. This like episode takes a turn that like, I don't really think you could have seen this part coming.
Oh, never. I didn't see this coming at all. Well, you guys know how we start everything. Mm-hmm. It all starts with Mary Alice Young. She comes in and she says, competition means different things to different people. And I'm like, ain't that the truth?
Yep.
Preach, girl. Mm-hmm. I like raise a mimosa. Yes. So in suburbia, it means keeping up with the Joneses, aka Brie. And I'm feeling like we start with a lot of Brie every episode. Like Mary Alice Young.
Brie or Gabby, I feel like.
Yeah, Brie has a lot of focus. Yeah. Mary Alice Young misses her the most, I guess. She hasn't, she's rarely started with season.
Yeah, no.
Season's like, she was my best friend. I'm taking a bullet for her. And Mary Alice is in the afterlife. Like,
she's like, that's great, sweetie.
Yeah, I'm like, we weren't that close.
Yeah.
Brie has the nicest salon. No one begrudged her for this except for Miss Martha Huber, who's, we see them doing their lawn side by side. And she tried hard to beat Brie, but didn't have a green thumb. And the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence.
Great opportunity
for
that line.
Yeah, great line. Good job, writers.
Yeah.
Miss Martha Huber sees this dude, Victor, running. Mm-hmm. And offers him some water, which feels bizarre to me. She's like, you want some water?
I guess everybody just is talking to each other like it's nothing all the time in this neighborhood.
Yeah, maybe he like looked out of breath or something because he fucking just faints on her yard. So maybe this was a good thing. She's like, I'll call an ambulance. And she like turns to go to her house and then she like stops for a second and she's like, wait a minute. And she drags him over in a wheelbarrow. She puts him in a wheel, which this is heavy lifting. This guy is probably like 190 pounds.
This is impressive. What she does is very impressive.
Yeah, let's say he's 6'4". Yeah. I don't know. He has too much confidence.
Yeah, he's tall.
His confidence is an extra 10 pounds.
Yeah.
So she dumps him in a wheelbarrow, which I'm like, she has super strength. And his body must have been limp too. So it's even heavier. But she dumps him in Bree's yard. And I'm like, in disbelief about this. And Bree's in this fitted bucket cap. Her yard is all fucked up and her OCD is triggered because the ambulance comes and like fucks up her yard.
Yeah.
To pick up this dead dude, essentially.
Is he dead?
I don't know.
I feel like he'd be dead by the time they get there because she let him
wait
there for so long.
If he didn't come to while in a wheelbarrow being wheeled over somewhere, I think he's out.
Had a heart attack.
I don't know what happened. Miss Huber has no conscience. That was fucked up. Miss Huber understood the first rule of competition. In order to win, you have to want it more. This kind of leads us into the gals together. I think when Mary Alice Young was alive, she did this book club and she seemed to thrive in this. They go through some of the lit characters that they've covered, the literary characters, and how she saw that reflected in her real life. She saw this in the way that they deal with adversity, and Lynette's like popping pills. That's how she deals with her adversity. They conducted illicit affairs, and as we all know, Gabby is a predator.
Yes.
Fucking John Roland, and then endured domestic drama. I was gonna say trauma. Same difference. Yeah. There for Bree,
basically.
And then planned romantic conquests, which is Susan, as she eye fucks Mike every day of her life.
Yep. She obsesses.
Yeah, she can't stop thinking about him. But since she died, her friends had lost their interest in all this stuff and reading in general, I'm sure. And their own problems were really absorbing them. But they're reading Madame Bovary. None of them are that interested. So at the book club, some lady like calls them out on this aggressively, because I think Lynette says she finds Madame Bovary inspirational. And the lady is like, Madame Bovary is not inspirational.
Yeah,
she's like, she's straight up like, have you read this? And Lynette's just like, no, actually.
Didn't she say like she kills herself at the end? Maybe, yeah, that's like the connection, because like that's what Mary Alice is. I don't know.
You guys, we'll report on it later.
Yeah,
but
we'll get back to you.
We definitely didn't read the book, and we definitely didn't even look up the Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And so Susan's like, I saw the movie.
Yeah, she goes, good.
And this lady's pissed, and Bree is like, you know what? Let's all have a drink. Like, let's get in the kitchen. Like, and she boots these girls out of the room, and she's like, I'll meet you in the kitchen to make the drinks and get the snack. Then she shuts the door behind these bitches, and these girls take position quick. They get around the table, and they, like, squat in a huddle.
I'm like, why don't y'all just hang out on your own and have your own?
Oh, no.
What?
They move so fast, though. I'm like, they could be a great cheer squad getting into a pyramid.
Yeah.
And they take these positions, and they're like, what's the scoop, Susan? What's up with Zach? She tells them about the health clinic that he's in for troubled boys. They bring up Dana, and they're like, who the fuck's that still? Somebody asked, like, well, who is Dana? And Lynette's like, that's a mystery.
Yeah.
They were like, this is what Mary Alice Young was trying to hide, obviously, who Dana was. And this note is about Dana. And they figure it out, they piece it together, and that sets us off. We see Lynette and Tom at home. Tom's finally home, you guys. I know you've been waiting for it.
We missed him. We missed our buddy Tom.
Lynette has been too. She's been waiting for Tom because she's miserable as always. But Tom comes home and he finds his house in a way that he doesn't typically. It's spotless. So if you recall, Lynette's taking those ADD meds.
Yeah.
She's still taking them. This episode, Tom comes home and he's like, we have to throw a dinner party because I need to pitch something to my boss and all my pitches are failing. And I want to have them over to my house so they can't really say no to my pitch, which he's like, we got to have this dinner party. And Lynette's kind of like, I don't know if I can do that. And then he's like, we have to. And she's a good wife, so she does.
Well, and so she's a good wife and agrees to do it, and then notices that she's out of her pills.
Yeah, so she's like, how am I going to do this without my pills? So, yeah, when Tom comes home, he's like, why is it so spotless here? But I'm, like, impressed. And he's like, this really works well because he's doing a campaign for Spotless Scrub. So mm-hmm. I'm guessing that they work in advertising.
He must, yeah.
This is all sounding familiar.
It's a Mad Men.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that this is how they met. I think they used to work together. I don't know if we find that out later or not, but I think so. It's sounding like it. Actually, I think Lynette offered him to pitch his idea. Oh, she offers him to pitch his idea to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no. Even though she was like a CMO, she's like bomb at her job.
Yeah.
Tom is like, instead of practicing with you and just doing it at the office, let's do this whole thing, the whole mm-hmm. shebang that I just explained. He's like, let's do that. And Lynette's like, when? And he's like, 2 days. And she's like, what the fuck?
He's like, day after tomorrow. Sorry. Yeah.
She's like, I don't have time for that. It's like really short notice. And he says, Bree would be able to handle it. Which she does it all the time.
Fucked up. I would have fucking smacked. He would have been smacked for the second time on the show.
Instead of smacking him like she's already done before, she says she's feeling competitive. Mm-hmm. And she's feeling competitive against Bree for no reason. She's
just not, like other wives in general. Like yeah, she's yeah. housewife. Like she wants to be the best.
Yeah. And I get that competitive spirit. I understand how that feels when you're maybe comparing yourself too much to these women that you just aren't them. And like, mm-hmm. that's okay. But Lynette doesn't see that in the moment. And she's like, I have to prove myself. And Tom's like, thanks. And I wrote, I don't completely hate him yet.
I don't hate Tom. I just think he's clueless. And I think this is like an example of that. I think he just says dumb shit and doesn't even realize it.
So she goes to find her meds and they're not there. And mm-hmm. she like goes and picks up some crack or something. She's like, I just have to have something.
Yeah.
No, it's not a joking matter. I'm sorry. but she goes and she fixes this situation. She's like, I am not going to be able to do this without this help. And she spends the rest of her time finding people who might be able to give her some Adderall medication.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes in the park and she runs into the Jordana, the other mom who originally got her hooked, to be honest.
Yeah.
So thanks, lady. And she says, you look tired. And I'm like, what a compliment. I used to hate that when you like wear makeup every day.
The one time you don't, someone's like, you look sleepy.
You look tired. Like, what's up with your, oh my God, I had somebody be like, what's up with your face one time? Because I wasn't wearing makeup. It was a man. You look tired. Unless they literally are like about to pass out, don't say that. And she's like, I'm getting ready for this party. She doesn't spend much time with small talk. She says, anyways, do you have some ADD meds?
Yeah.
And Jordana is like, ooh, I'm running low and I'm also addicted.
So, yeah, she's like, bitch, I need it for myself.
And Jordana doesn't have any sympathy. She's like, the come down's a bitch and I don't know what to tell you about yeah, it. Sorry that, like, I got you addicted.
Yeah, she's like, she's like, sorry I convinced you to take these.
Yeah. And Lynette's like, I won't forget that you didn't help me. Count on your daughter not mm-hmm. having any Girl Scout cookie sales from me. And I'm like, that's some strong will. I'm about to order Girl Scout cookies online, which I didn't know you could do.
You can do that?
Yeah, I can send you the link.
Please.
So it's Girl Scout cookie season, mm-hmm. you guys. Support young female entrepreneurs. So the next time, Lynette's not done. She's like, fuck Jordana. She's on my hit list. Never talking to her again. But she finds another mom that maybe she's not that great of friends with, it sounds like, from their interaction. They're like watching their kids play on a play date. And Lynette arranged this play date for a reason. She heard on the street that this mom also medicates her children. And I'm like, is this for real? Is this based on like moms? I guess there are moms who do this. But I'm like, is there a mom ring of like ADD medicators?
I would probably say yeah. Wouldn't I mean look past. At yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like definitely.
She's like, I heard you medicate little Tommy or something. And she's like, yeah, it's doing miracles for him or something. And she's like, sick, I have to use the bathroom. I'm like, whoa. Textbook addict. So she's like, a woman on a mission here. She flushes the toilet, runs that water, and pops a motherfucking pill. She finds it quick. And then you think she's done,
mm-hmm.
but Mary Alice Young's there with her in spirit and VO, and she says, Lynette vowed not to do this again anytime soon, but, like, couldn't hold out or something. Mm-hmm. But, oh, there's always, like, a next time. She's like, she vowed to do better next time or something, and Lynette pockets a ton of pills after
she
this.
She definitely, yeah, she goes for it.
Yeah.
I feel like she could just, couldn't she just get more by telling her doctor that her son's out?
Yeah, but sometimes when you have medications like that, they don't let you fill it till a particular date. So if she's been popping them like crazy, which it looks like she has,
sounds like it,
they would be like another 20 days till she could get more or something, because you have like a month by month.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. But also I'm like, wouldn't this bitch notice that like 20, this girl, okay, Lynette like dumps it in her hand and I'm like, this mom would totally notice that like half the pill bottle is gone.
Yeah. It no, it'd be obvious. Of pills. It'd be obvious.
Lynette has this fix and the dinner party is like happening. Mm-hmm. She's good to go. She was up all night probably making this shit, cleaning the house. And Lynette's like trembling. She's so strung out. And Tom starts pitching and he's fucking bad at it. It's horrible. I wrote horrible pitch.
Speaking from our expert, our resident expert in here.
As somebody who has to do this shit. Yeah. And I'm like, I am asleep right now. He suggests putting like a campaign for this thing on like shopping carts, mm-hmm. which isn't a bad idea. That's fine, but it's not inventive. And Lynette, just kind of off the cuff, is really smart and is like, put it in dry cleaning bags, put something between a woman and her cashmere sweater, and she's sold. Like, mm-hmm. if you're trying to target moms, she comes up with this killer idea. And Tom is, I mean, he's not furious like Rex, but he's, I could see that he's churning a little bit inside. Mm-hmm. He's like, shut the fuck up, I'm in the middle of this.
Yeah.
And he's frustrated because this boss guy that he's pitching to is like, what a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the other wife is like, oh my God, yeah, true. I love my cashmere and I love being advertised to there or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're all in love with Lynette. And then she comes and sits down with them and she goes off because she can't shut up because she's on those ADT meds.
Yeah,
because
she's literally, like, she's basically high. She's high as fuck.
If you ever run into somebody, they can't stop talking on mm-hmm. those. And then she goes into this whole business idea and she's like, then you can branch out and this and that. And she just like can never step away from her calling, and I'm on my knees for her. She's my mentor now.
Yeah.
My boss is really too of a mentor. I'm like Lynette from Desperate Housewives. Yeah. Just get addicted to some drugs and kill it at your job still. So this meeting ends and we catch up with Lynette and Tom in the kitchen, and Tom is upset about this, and I would be too if my partner outshined me when I was like, you were supposed to be a sport. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be pretty bothered. I kind of get it. She stole his thunder. He was like, you were supposed to, I don't like the way that he dresses it. He's like, you were supposed to make dinner and you made me look bad.
Yes. However, this conversation between them I actually really like, because I think they both, it's like a very constructive conversation by the end of it. Because basically, she's like, yes, I was supposed to do that. But also like, is this what my life is now? And I can't even do this right. Like, I fail at I can't win at this. Yeah. It's like what she says, basically.
Yeah. She says, she explains that it came from a place of frustration mm-hmm. and also a place of just pure talent. Like, she doesn't say that, but obviously she's talented. And she's like, and I'm frustrated. I'm talented at that. What I just did, I was talented at. And I don't feel good and I don't feel empowered when I'm a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to feel that way. Mm-hmm. Like, not every woman has to want to be a mom, and not every woman is going to be good at it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And like, maybe you're good at your job. And like, she explains that, and I do feel like Tom listens to her and he hears her.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, at first she is kind of a bitch. She's like, maybe you need better ideas.
Yeah.
But they get to there in the end, and Tom is also able to express, I like this because it's not just Lynette expressing herself and Tom listening. Tom expresses his ego, and like, he says, your career was going better than mine.
Yeah.
And I like feeling good at my job and providing for you. Mm-hmm. And like, so I think it's just healthy that they are both able to express how they're feeling.
I think it's okay that, like, they both have things that they resent about each other in a way. But being able to, like, verbalize those things and, like, figure out, okay, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
I think that might be, like, not to go too far off the path here, but, like, with Rex and Bree, as we're watching their marriage fall apart, like, Rex resents Bree but can't talk to her about stuff.
Yeah.
Tom and Lynette, they have problems, but they're able to, like, communicate.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really important.
Very stark difference between mm-hmm. the two marriages. And I think this situation, they're competing against each. Tom sees it as she's competing against him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm competing against other moms. And I'm competing against a whole different subset. And Tom is like, I don't expect that from you. It did make me a little bit emotional. He's like, I don't expect you to be a super mom, and I think you're great as you are.
I know.
And I was like, oh my
God. I was
like
tearing up as Lynette's like breaking down and Tom's like comforting her. And like, I'm gonna tear up right now. I'm like, shit, that was so supportive and nice. Like, I don't know. I just feel like when you watch, like, and this is where Felicity Huffman's such a great actress. Like, I like, feel her. I feel what she's feeling. Yeah. I'm not a mom. I have not had to quit my job to be a mom. Yet I was like, yes, I feel your pain.
Well, just like the open support of Tom is like unheard of. It's like Lynette's saying, I can't win here and I can't win there. And I don't know what to do. And Tom is like, this dinner party was amazing. And I don't know how you pulled it together. And like, you're my hero. Mm-hmm. He's like, everybody thinks that you're a good wife and mother. And I especially think that. And I'm like, getting chills just talking about it. Like, oh my God, Tom wins a Husband of the Week award. Yeah. Like off the bat. And then he kind of notices something about Lynette. And he says, what's wrong with your eyes? And he notices that they're like probably fucked up from all the meds because your eyes get all dilated. And then she kind of brushes it off. And then we're drawn into another situation. But I wrote, Tom has a special place in my heart. I want to marry a Tom. Those are my ending notes from this storyline.
No, I really like Tom. I definitely think he's like the best male character. I mean, Mike's not terrible so far, at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, same with Tom, I guess, so far. But
he's
best
husband.
I definitely think, like I said, like Tom and Lynette have problems and we've seen them in more than one episode, but he is always willing to communicate with her and they always do move forward. Like their arguments don't just end with them both still being mad.
Yeah.
Like they're able to actually make some sort of progress through their problems.
True.
And so I think like a big part of that is Tom isn't like this super like hyper masculine man. Like he's like down to talk and
he's
be
just a,
real
like, SoCal surfer dude.
Yeah, he's our bro.
He like learned some emotions.
Yeah.
Yes. So we are big fans at this point of the Scavo household, and we didn't have to see the kids. Maybe that's why we like them so much this episode.
I know. They create monster children, but yeah, they're great.
They have too many kids. The next person we get around to is Susan. We told you guys two episodes ago that Susan and Mike kissed in the car. Their romance is sparked, but then Mike Delfino was plumbing everywhere, I guess. We didn't see him because Susan was investigating. This storyline is a classic competition trope. Now Susan is not only competing with Edie. Well, she's no longer competing with Edie because she kind of won.
Yeah.
But then some other chick comes into town that she feels that she is competing with.
Who's like staying with Mike.
Yeah.
And shenanigans ensue. Classic Susan shenanigans.
Yeah. So it kicks off with Susan getting ready for a date with Mike, and she is dressed in a ball gown.
I thought it was leather at first, like when she walked out of the house.
It was pleather.
It looked almost like a pleather dress.
It was
like
a red pleather dress, and she's wearing like dangly diamond earrings and like a corsage. I don't know
they look like I'm like, are you going to a ball? Like,
I was
what kind of
thinking
date?
That too.
Why are you dressed like that?
I was like, what rest are you going to Olive Garden? Like, what the fuck are you
I've
doing?
Never gone on a date where I needed to dress that.
No, there's nowhere in this town that they would need to dress like that. And it's not a holiday. It's not her birthday.
It's
I don't think
gala.
You're not like going somewhere fancy. I would never dress like that on a
she
date.
Looked hot though.
It was more of like a wedding. That looked like a
yes,
wedding date
yes.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed really unacceptable, and it was like broad daylight.
So I'm like, it's too light out for this.
It was broad day. It was like 12 in the afternoon. She's dressed so sexy, and Julie is like, told Mike to have you home by 11. I thought she's just clowning on her mom per usual with some great one-liners. Mm-hmm. She's like, do you have a condom? I thought I'd have sex before you do it again. Like, and this cuts to Mike getting ready. He's talking to Bongo, his main man, Bongo the dog, not his drum. Then this hot chick rolls up on his doorstep as Susan is like getting ready to leave her house.
Yeah.
And she's like walking over looking like a snack. So one chick is rolling up. Susan's stepping out of her house. And it, like I said, it's broad daylight. She's looking like this.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees Edie, who is like, I guess, a real estate agent.
Yeah.
We had no clue what her profession was before this.
But now we know.
So she's a real estate agent. She's putting up a sale sign in front of Mary Alice Young's house.
Mm-hmm.
Susan makes the worst move ever. And she goes over to Edie to flex.
She should have waited till after the
date. She should have shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Yeah, this was... So she's flexing on Edie, basically saying, like, Mike and I kissed, like a fucking middle schooler.
It was, I noted that too. I was like, she just, like, you just kissed him. Like, I would never be bragging to, like, competitively. Like, I kissed him and he's mine now.
And Edie's kind of like, good for you.
Yeah, Edie has the right response. She's like, and? Like, that doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
So she's bragging, and then she, like, rolls on her merry way thinking she's going to have the best date of her life. And Susan gets to the doorstep. She's super pumped. She's like texting her friend. She's like, I made it.
She's like, here we go. She's like,
text you after. Yeah. Like, you know what happened.
That's the moment where you say that.
So Mike cancels on the spot. And I'm writhing inside. He says he has an unexpected house guest. And the hot chick rolls up behind him. And I'm crying. I'm so sad for her.
I'm sad for her, too. This is, like, the worst thing that could ever happen.
And her name's Kendra. And that's a threatening name.
That's a hot girl
name.
That's
a threatening name.
That's scary.
Kendra. Who the fuck is Kendra? Mm-hmm. That's the girl, like, you see that he liked her photo. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, you're sending that profile to your friend.
Yeah. No, and, like, Susan... I have to give Susan kudos because she doesn't just, like, pout and walk away. She's just like, who is this person? And Mike's like, oh, it's an old friend. And she's like, so what is an old friend? What does that mean? Like, she's, you guys, like, are bowling buddies? Yes. And I was like,
Kendra calls from the house. I'm going to shower. And I'm like, oh, my God. I can't believe this. And Susan's beat. Mike is like, you look hot, though. And she's like, yeah, I'll just talk to you later. And, like, walks her sorry ass home.
She walks her sorry ass home, blocking her face with her purse. And Edie goes, how was the hot date? And Edie gets her little revenge.
I know. It was epic. I kind of am team Edie there because Susan played that all wrong.
Yeah, she played herself.
Yeah, so round one goes to everybody but Susan right now.
Yeah, Susan's fucking floundering right now.
We find out that Kendra works with Mike, maybe. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell. Maybe you have more insight. Are they related? Are Mike and this chick related?
No, but I do know. Do you want me to?
No, don't spoil it. But I just couldn't tell because she says, my dad.
She's
my
talking about that old guy that Mike works for.
Old guy, throwback a few episodes, who made a screwdriver pun joke.
So we know that Mike works for him, but we don't know Mike's relation to him.
Yeah, I couldn't tell because she kept saying she said dad. And I was like, our dad, her dad, your dad, like, who's dad? So I didn't know they were siblings, but no. She's like, you need to finish the job because I need my dad back and this is all you can focus on or something like that.
Well, she's like telling him, like, she wants him to quit. She's like, just quit because then he'll give up too and we can move on.
Yeah.
But we don't really know what they're looking for or why, like, what her dad is so hung up on.
Yeah.
So we were like, kind of like, okay, like, what the fuck does that mean?
It was mysterious. Yeah. We have a lot of questions about Kendra. Hot girl Kendra.
Hot girl Kendra.
But she catches him staring at Susan from across the way because he just missed out on this date he probably planned for a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's like, does your girlfriend know about why you're here?
Yeah.
Like, some shit like that.
Something like that. And Susan doesn't give a fuck. Next time we see Susan, she's giving something to Lynette for the party, and she's catching on that Lynette is, like, having issues. Mm-hmm. She's like, Lynette's like, I shelled my own crabs. And Susan's like, what?
Why?
I would do that. If you told me that you, like, cooked an elaborate meal, I'd be like, why? Like,
okay, first of all, for those of you that don't know, I don't cook, so that would be shocking for a lot of reasons.
And Susan's like, you're looking really tired. That's just a little thing that happens between them. And then we get to the Dana blanket. I was so excited that they finally figured out that Dana was a baby. Mm-hmm. We move along in that mystery. The girls are catching on. Dana's baby, probably a baby that Mary Alice Young no longer had.
Yeah.
The next time we see the gang, it's Mike and Kendra hit Edie's open house. And Susan sees them going there.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm going to put myself around him.
Classic Susan moves, setting herself up, decides to go watch them, spy on them. I don't even know.
And Edie overhears that Mike and Kendra are going to go to Sour Ranch later, which sponsored by Sour Ranch.
I guess that's
again.
Like the place to go.
I know. Maybe I need to DM them. This is out of control. They go to Sour Ranch all the time. Mike says, that's the last place anyone saw your sister. And I'm like, who's Kendra's sister? So we have another mystery there. Mm-hmm. And Susan follows them. And Edie and Susan, like, get together. And I'm liking this girl gang that's happening.
I can't, and yeah, and, like, Edie, yeah, I like it. I like when Edie and Susan, like, team up. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a highlight. One of the highlights of this episode.
Yeah.
Edie's like, Kendra's boning him. That's what's up. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to get on board. And Susan's like, they're just friends. Edie's like, don't be so dense. She's like, we're going to go to Sal Ranch tonight. That's what's up. And Edie's that girl that you need in your life. Mm-hmm. Who's like, stop moping around. Let's just handle this.
Yeah.
Let's fucking follow him. Make it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a bad idea. Don't do it, maybe. But you need that girl who's going to cause some trouble.
Yeah. Well, and Edie makes a comment. She's like, if I can't have him, then, like, some other chick's not going to have him if it's, like, between, like, a competition between the two of us.
So this is, like, there's a lot of competitiveness, but Edie is still in the race, let's be honest. I think so too. So they go there, and I'm kind of like, what's even at a Saddle Ranch? Because there was a salad bar. The kids said that they were going to play games there, episode one. And we see there's a mechanical bull there. And this place is popping off. Like, after watching this, I'm like, I want to go to a Saddle Ranch.
Now it looks like when, like, in Sex and the City, they go to, like...
Yeah.
Now it looks like the bar Saddle Ranch, not, like...
Oh, maybe it's the bar Saddle Ranch.
I feel like this one was, like, the one in...
On Melrose.
On Melrose.
Or maybe Sunset. I don't know. Maybe we need to go when everything opens up.
Yeah.
I mean, there used to be a bar in West Hollywood, RIP, called Flaming Saddles. That shit popped off.
Yeah. That place was wild.
Yes. But either way, Saddle Ranch is popping off. They are both looking like they're drinking a pitcher of beer.
Yes.
They're drinking some big ass beers there. And Edie's not backing down, and I love it. Edie's kind of like, I'm still in this race.
Yeah.
And Susan's like, it's not a competition, and Edie's like, it is.
Yeah, she's like, bitch, what do you think it is?
And then Edie's like, I was rooting for you, and you fucked it up, and it would be easier to steal Mike from you than it will be from this Kendra bitch, because she has a hot name. And I'm like, yes, I've fallen in love, and it's with Edie. And the next time we see anything, Edie's riding a bull with no hands.
She's killing it.
She takes off her hat. It was so impressive.
That was hot.
And Mike confronts Susan. He catches Susan at the bar or whatever. He's like, I already talked to Edie, and I knew that you were here, and the jig's up. I don't know why you're following me. He's mad about this. And Susan lies like a dumbass, and she says, we came to ride the bull. And Mike is like, you're not fun. Don't lie to me. I know you would never do that.
Yeah, he's like, why are you lying? Like, we all know why you're here.
He's like, you would never ride a mechanical bull. And I kind of love that he's that honest.
Calls her out.
Yeah. And Susan's adamant that she didn't come to just follow him. And if she did, it's only because he's been so secretive. And I'm like, you are bursting at the seams. You're falling apart.
Yeah.
You're under pressure and falling apart.
Yeah.
She calls out Kendra, and he's like, we're just friends. And she's like, well, I just came to ride the bull. And Mike is like, have at it then.
Mm-hmm.
A really hot guy helps her onto this bull. And I'm like, can we get that guy on here more?
Mm-hmm.
She does something with her shirt. She like unbuttons her shirt a little bit to try and be sexy, and it's not
her
sexy.
Sweater. She's wearing like a cardigan.
They're always wearing cardigans.
Yeah.
And then she has a hat on, and she throws the hat and knocks the operator out, and then she's like knocked out by this bull.
Yes, she gets thrown.
Yes. So that's where we leave it off for a second. Then we catch up with them again, and Susan's mortified that she just took a beating from this bull and from everybody around her, because she fucking is falling apart. She can't handle the pressure. She's icing her face with a beer. And I guess Kendra's being friendly to her now. Kendra brings her a beer, and they formally meet.
They basically have a talk where Kendra's like, there's nothing between me and Mike like that. Like, nothing like that.
Yeah, she said, I have no designs on this man whatsoever.
Yeah, but then she gives like the whole like, talk it up speech to Susan about like how great Mike is, but then she's like, he's great, but also you should ask him why he's here.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
I was like, okay, bitch. And then we're gonna cover Paul in a minute. Maybe this is a good segue into Paul.
Yeah,
we see Edie talking to a guy at the bar, and we happen to know it's a PI that Paul is working with. I don't think it was Shaft. Was it Shaft?
Yeah, it's the same guy.
So they just like are chatting it up at the bar, and that's how we leave it.
Yeah, so Paul's storyline is pretty quick. We don't even see Zach in this episode.
Yeah, we forget about Zach.
Yeah, but basically Paul like is selling his house. He and Edie have a whole ass conversation about it
because she's the realtor.
Yeah, she's the realtor. But the real meat of it is him talking to the PI, where first of all the PI implies that he's like murdered, so that's where we're at. But oh, and so when Paul is like talking to Edie about the house, she gives him like a piece of paper like with some information on it, and he realizes that the paper matches the stationery that like
he sees the paper, and he's like, he holds them up together and he's like, this is the same paper. He contacts the PI and he's like, the papers match, right? And the PI is like, yes they do. He basically is like, I can kill her if you want.
Yeah,
over the paper, you guys.
Yes,
over the
that's not enough evidence in
be
my mind.
Be careful about what paper you buy, because they were like, this paperweight matches. He's like, this is definitely who sent the note. And the PI is like, 10 grand, I could take her out. I could have a hit. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I know, I'm like, this is quick.
Yeah, and at first, like, Paul is kind of like, should we bring this to the police? And they have some sort of like talk. I don't know. There's a little bit of like Christianity pushing in this series, if you can't tell. But Paul is like, I had a life we were proud of before my wife shot herself. We went to church. We were good people. And then they're talking about a hit within the next minute.
He's like, so anyway, go ahead and kill Edie because I think based on this one piece of paper that it's her.
Yeah. And also, like, it's just kind of bizarre. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Paul didn't say no.
No.
Paul didn't say no.
No. So that's when we then see the PI with Edie at Saddle Ranch.
Yeah. So that's like what goes on there. And then we get into some juicy storyline. I mean, not that those weren't juicy. Those were just more wholesome compared to what we're about to tackle now. And I think we can start this off with Gabby.
Yes. So the big story this week with Gabby is that she's jealous of another high schooler.
Yeah. Yeah, if you guys ever reach a low point, just think that in this series, some chick who's maybe 32, maybe 35 is jealous of a 16-year-old girl.
It's embarrassing. Like, this episode's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing and gross. So
basically, like, Danielle, Bree's daughter, and John, like, something's starting to happen. Basically.
Even though they're both in the abstinence club.
Yeah. So Gabby one day, like, John's mowing the lawn and she, like, calls him. And he's, like, kind of being cold to her. And he's, like, she basically says, like, let's meet up, you know, in an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's, like, I can't. I have a date with Danielle. And Gabby's just, like, you're not allowed to see other girls. And he's, like, you're fucking married. Like, what do you mean? And, like, Gabby's, like, looking at him, like, I don't know. She's acting kind of, like, this is psycho shit right
she's
here.
She's calling him from the balcony. Yes. The upstairs balcony while he's raking their lawn shirtless. And yes. They're, like, having this conversation. Mm-hmm. The angle is so wild. It's, like, this from below angle where you can see John. You can see Gabby in the back. She's, like, you can't see other girls. And he's, like, well, maybe you should dump your husband then. And he's just over it at this point. Like, you maybe all know this, where you get the vibes that somebody's really over you. And that's the vibe that he's giving off.
Yeah.
Gabby wants to go to the Lunch Money Motel. That's what she called him about.
Yeah.
That's what's up. And he kind of drops the mic and hangs up with that last comment about the husband.
Well, then Juanita, like, notices this. And she, when Gabby's out of the room, calls, like, the last number that Gabby called.
Yeah.
And John picks up and goes, dirty talk's not going to change my mind.
Okay, in the wildest way to answer a phone.
I know.
Oh my god, nobody answers their phone that way.
No. And so Gabby's like, or Juanita just doesn't say anything and hangs up, and John's like, hello, like, what the fuck? So now, like, she knows for sure what the deal is.
The best investigative work. Mm-hmm. We've seen
that was
this
impressive.
Far is Juanita calling the last number. That was the best. All these
so
women
smart.
Are like, who's Dana, what do we do, the note, should we do it? And Juanita's just, she like handles it. She's like, I don't know.
Yeah, she's smart as fuck.
Yep.
So then Gabby decides she's going to get rid of Danielle by offering to sponsor her in modeling school, which, no offense to Danielle, but...
Okay, I didn't want to say it.
She's not going to make it as a model.
I was contemplating all day. Like,
I'm sorry, I'll say it. I don't give a fuck. I'll be that guy.
I was contemplating so much if I should say it. I was like, am I going to look like a dick?
I don't even care.
She's not cute.
No, she's not. It's not going to work out for her.
Maybe she's going to grow it.
She's going to get eaten alive in fucking New York City.
Yes, I can't believe everybody's like gaslighting her.
Yes. And to think she could be a model? Is this a joke? Oh my god. I was sitting there like...
Oh my god. I'm glad.
I can't.
I'm so glad.
This is also a world, though, where 5'2 Eva Longoria could ever be a runway model. So who even knows?
I was like, okay. But if you guys heard us at the beginning, like, it's even more wild that, like, Gabby is jealous of this girl. This girl
again. I mean, we'll circle back to that, but basically, like, she offers to sponsor her, and we'll get more into that kind of with Bree's storyline too, but
she's jogging in that Gucci sweatsuit.
Yes. And then, like, it comes to a head, and Bree, like, late in a later scene, like, yells at Gabby for even offering that without talking to her. John hears the whole thing and gets pissed at Gabby because he's like, well, you're trying to send this girl away because I want to be with her. Like, that's fucking crazy. And so they have, like, this, like, throwdown kind of in the shed again where they're, like, fighting. And Gabby, again, is just, like, she's acting like a psychopath. Like, being jealous over the child you're fucking because some other person his age, like, wants, like... Oh my god, like, it's
pathetic.
Pathetic.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
It's pretty pathetic.
You feel sad for her. You're like,
this is embarrassing.
Bad look, girl.
So they decide they're gonna have breakup sex,
which is stupid as fuck. Okay, I don't know how you guys feel about breakup sex. I'm not on board with
it. No, it's not a real thing. I think it's
stupid. Don't have breakup sex.
No, don't have breakup sex. It's not a thing. It's stupid, and it's just gonna cause you to be upset.
It's gonna cause you to be upset for like a long ass time, longer than you would have been. They plan this out, and she pretends to have cramps because Carlos has this big dinner. And she's like, I can't go. I have cramps. And he's like, Juanita can take your place. Like, yeah. my mom's got me. Don't worry. Like, cause I guess you need a woman at this event.
Yeah.
John, like, rolls up. But Juanita's on to her when she's like, oh, you have cramps? Really?
Mm-hmm.
But they leave and Gabby, like, whips that robe off. And John rolls over.
Yep. So they have crazy sex.
Yeah, post-coital.
And Juanita does roll up and catches them. At one point, John tries to stop her from leaving the house, and she fucking clocks him in the head.
He, like, assaults her. He's trying to grab this, like, disposable camera or whatever she had.
Yeah.
She takes a picture of them, and she handles it. She, like, punches him in the knee, gets him in the balls. Just, he's out cold.
Yeah.
And he's useless. So
he's fucking useless.
Because in the real world, he would have been, like, a scrawny 15-year-old anyway. So,
yeah. And then she runs out the house, which I feel like we should maybe come back.
We can come back to that. Yeah. I just want to address how Gabby handled this. Juanita snaps the pic. John loses his shit. He's like, come here, old broad. And Gabby doesn't give a fuck. She's like, we just had our last sex, I guess. So I'm going to... And this chick just took a picture of it. I'm done.
Yeah.
She calmly packs her bag to fucking leave.
Yeah.
And I think that was pretty bad bitch move. If I don't like Gabby, don't get me wrong. But I was like, I guess...
No, I respect...
If you know, you know.
Yeah. And like, what else is she going to do in that scenario?
Yeah, so we can come back to what happened with Juanita when she runs out that house. So we leave Gabby and John there and Juanita, but we're going to come back to them because their storyline links up with Breeze.
Yes.
If you recall, Rex likes to have his ass eaten or something.
Something. we don't know. What.
But they were having a lot of sexual problems last time. And Rex and Bree are called into school because Andrew beat the shit out of some kid.
Broke his nose.
Yeah. Broke Full on assault. Nose, about to be expelled. And Rex is like, it's just some roughhousing. Mm-hmm. And you're going to ruin his life forever. And I'm like, this is triggering.
I was about to say, it sounds like every fucking white dad when their son commits some sort of sexual assault.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too close to home and like things that even happen in the media. It happened in life this week.
No, that was like a dark moment. I like that Brie was like, fuck no, like he assaulted somebody.
Yeah, Brie is like, what the fuck?
She's like, he needs to be held accountable. And then Rex's whole like, well, we're going through a lot, we should be held accountable too.
Yeah, he just outs, we're having marital problems. It's this lady, this principal. And Bree is like, if he's angry about our marriage, maybe he should shove your head into a locker. We all need to take responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Bree's like, our problems aren't that serious, by the way. She's still trying to save face. And Rex is just yelling in this office. And then he screams that he went to an attorney for divorce papers. And I'm like, what a way. I mean, well, the divorce papers were already around last episode, I do have to say.
Yeah.
I feel like he just needs to shut up about it. Like, I don't know. He seems horrible.
I just don't like that he needs, like, he feels the need to fucking talk about their marriage problems like that to the fucking principal. Like,
he talks about it all the time.
Any tact, just a little bit. Like, you can say, like, we're having problems at home without being like, I've called the attorneys. Blah, 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 blah.
Losing his shit.
He's so annoying.
He like, can't hold it together.
I can't with him.
Well, he outs the marriage problems at the party. I feel like he outed them somewhere else. He just keeps talking about this divorce.
He does.
And, like, I think she gets it. Like,
yeah, she's like, I get it. Maybe not. I don't know.
She's doing...
She seems kind of over it, though, in this episode. Like, yeah. I think the only reason she said not that serious is because she just simply was like, we don't need to involve this random-ass person.
This fucking principal.
Yeah, like, can you just shut the fuck up? Like, oh, my God.
So she's like, you're not going to have a penny when I'm done with you, and I will get a better attorney. And this principal is the quiet. She's quietly sweating in her chair and... I wrote all this because Rex wanted his ass eaten. Because
he won't fucking tell her anything.
And so the principal's like, we can just start with detention. I don't want to be around you two.
Yeah.
And I agree. So Rex and Bree are really doing it finally. They're finally getting this divorce. He then starts giving the kids gifts.
Yeah. So he decides he's gonna like pay for Danielle's future modeling modeling career.
Yeah.
And he buys a fucking convertible, nice ass car for Andrew. Too nice for like your first car. Like, fuck off, Rex. Like, come on. And he basically is like, we're going through a divorce. We could spoil the kids a little bit. And Bree's like, no. Like, fuck no. Like, what is... Why?
Because they tell the kids that they're getting a divorce. And the kids are rather unaffected at first.
Yeah.
I mean, Bree is drinking a glass of wine. She probably drank the rest of the bottle that night. But they tell the kids and... I think that they, I don't know if they asked the kids or what, but it's established that both the kids want to live with Rex. Or Danielle says, I don't care as long as I have a closet or something.
She's like
that.
My own bathroom as she's brushing. She's always brushing her hair. Dude. Like, we get it. She's a girly girl.
She's like, no, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. So then the gifts are showered and Andrew gets the car. Danielle gets that modeling thing. And that's kind of that.
Mm-hmm.
Bree is pissed. And yeah. Rex is like, I can do whatever I want. The next time we catch up with Bree is right after this ordeal happens. Yeah. And she storms over to Gabby's house and like yells at Gabby. And she's like, why the fuck would you tell Danielle she could be a model? Because she's not that cute.
Yeah. And that's kind of what we mentioned before, where John like overhears.
Yeah. So that's where we see them. No, but Bree is like, you can't send her to New York. Like, it's just not going to happen. It's weird. It's mm-hmm. weird that you even did that.
Yeah.
Like, why? And then after this, like, throw down, the kids are back from a long drive in this shitty Mustang, like a 2005 Mustang.
Yeah.
If you remember, I'm sure you see one. Yeah. I'm sure you see one on the highway and it's like falling apart. But Bree does a power move and she throws everything out onto the lawn of her children, and she hires a locksmith, and I think this is the most badass move.
Yeah. So she has all of their stuff like lined up, very organized.
Yeah.
And she basically tells them, you're gonna give your gifts back or you're gonna move out.
Yeah.
Like, you're not living here if you're gonna accept these gifts. And Danielle pretty much caves immediately. She's like, whatever. Okay, I won't go to New York. But Andrew, and as we've seen in the past few episodes, Andrew's kind of a little bitch. He like gets pissed and is like, fuck that, and drives off to see his dad. And I have to say, this scene with Andrew and Rex is actually pretty heartbreaking. I feel like Rex, like, he's an asshole. Like, he doesn't want to be a dad. He doesn't want to deal with his wife. And yet he's like, I'll shower the kids with gifts. But when it comes to actually being there for them, he's like, no. Which is basically what happened.
So Andrew runs over to Rex and he's yelling at Andrew that he should have stayed with his mom. That's why he gave him the car. Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
What
like,
the fuck that means.
That's some mixed messages.
Yeah.
But Rex is going to fix this. He says, Andrew's like, why can't I just live with you? And like, we can have a bachelor pad, which I thought was a cute fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like, ooh, my heart's breaking.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, bro.
Rex is like, I need to work on myself, which means he just wants to bring
such
ladies home to fuck.
Fuck boy answer.
Yeah.
I need to work myself to his son.
To his fucking son.
He's like, it's not going to happen. You need to do the soul searching. Andrew's like, he's like, but dad, like, what's happening? And then he's kind of regretting everything. He's like, a little bit. I can see it in Andrew's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, fuck. And Rex is like, I don't care.
He's like, this is reality, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He's like, grow up fast.
Yeah.
And so he calls up his friend, Heath or Ian, who knows. And he's like, you still got that fake ID?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go home and kiss my mom's ass, and I'm not gonna do it sober. And I wrote, does he have an alcohol problem?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, whoa, okay. Okay,
I'm like, young boy with mm-hmm. his alcohol problem. I'm worried for him. Our storylines clash here.
Yep, this is
so
where...
you guys
ooh,
better
ooh.
Buckle up, and that is a drunk driving reference.
Yes, I was about to say. Our slogan, like, is paying off in this moment.
So we see Juanita running out of the house with her little disposable camera
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and she makes it out to the street. Nobody's really following her because I think John's out cold.
Yeah.
But we also see cuts of this car swerving all over Wisteria Lane and out of control. It's speeding and they collide.
Yep.
Andrew is the driver of that car. He got his alcohol. I'm
mm-hmm.
imagining it's like a handle of pop-off, like
yeah.
the worst vodka
nasty.
Ever. Like,
I feel sick just thinking
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, I know he took some pulls of that hand sanitizer
mm-hmm.
and was feeling good. So he hits her with his car.
Runs her over, basically.
Runs her over.
Yeah.
It's actually the most surprised... And
hits her
I was so surprised. It was the most shocking thing that
mm-hmm.
could have happened. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have. But it was so quick, and he hits her and runs. He does a hit and run, you guys. A drunken hit and run.
Yep. One of the worst things you can, like, one of the worst
it
things you
can
do.
So out of control. And so then Gabby and John come to, they hear this happen,
mm-hmm.
and they go out, and John's still recovering from his beating.
Yeah.
And Gabby's like, go home. You were never here tonight. And mm-hmm. that's how it goes. And like, we're done. I'm going to handle this. And then some other random dude comes over and says, she tells the guy, go call 911. And she fucking takes that camera. Gabby has no fucking soul.
She handles, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm scared of her. But yeah, she literally is just like, I will handle this. Get, you know, like, you can't be seen here. Basically is what she's saying.
That's what.
Yeah. And then we cut to fucking
Andrew.
We see Bree, and she's like, Andrew.
Yeah, the sirens go off. Yeah. And Bree's like, oh my God. She hears Andrew come in, and he's like, Mom. Or something like that.
He says, like, mama. Like, he's, like, bawling his
eyes. Well, yeah. Something, like, alerts her that Andrew's there. And she's, like, is just talking. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when somebody's in the room and you're, like, chatting. And Bree's like, something happened in the street. And she turns around. And Andrew, like, I make fun of this kid a lot on this show. This is one of the best acting moments. He was a good-ass actor.
Yes.
His face, you could see it all. And, like, I've been there. Yeah. Like, I regularly call my mom crying like that.
But the way he just, like, basically submits to her, like, mama, like,
his face is red, he's been bawling, his arms are crossed, and he's sniffling, and she sees it, and her acting was crazy. Her face, like, just that maternal,
I'm getting chills right now,
that maternal instinct where she looks at his face and she's like, I don't know if she even says anything. She's like, no. Andrew, and he's like, mama.
She basically says, like,
she's like, what happened,
like, what did you do, I think is what she says.
And he just says, mama, and it's literally chilling. And
then, like, she just cuts to her calling Rex, saying, you need to come home. We need you. Basically being like, we got to fucking do something about this.
Yeah. And then he comes over and they cover this tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. There's no more competition there.
Nope.
Rex better be Team Vandekamp generally from here on out. Handling a that's a lot.
But
your son committed
a great crime,
and what do you do?
I mean, it was all, like, the way the whole scene's handled is done so well. I love that it's not just, like, Andrew coming in, like, crying. Like, I hit it. Like, he's, like, it's all said in his, like you said, in his face. And then her reaction, like, the acting's so good.
In, like, a matter of five words.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was wild.
So, yeah, I mean, this episode packs a punch at the end.
I mean, yeah, I'm not over it. I'm getting chills. Oh my gosh. We're left with a lot of mysteries. Still the note in the paper.
Yeah.
Will there be a hit next episode?
Yeah, will there be a hit?
Over the paperweight.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with Andrew? Because he just committed a huge, like, heinous crime.
Yeah.
Will Juanita live? Are John and Gabby over for real?
Mm-hmm.
Will Kendra leave Susan alone so she can fuck Mike?
Will Susan and Mike ever have sex?
Yeah, for real, though. Will Edie sell that house to make a commission to buy back her own house?
Yeah.
And Lynette, will Tom catch on to Lynette's addiction?
Yeah.
Will she continue to have her addiction?
I mean, it's getting pretty serious at this point.
It's getting pretty serious. And is Zach okay?
Yeah.
Zach? Where is Zach? Will Danielle be a model? That's not a mystery.
Hey, spoiler alert. No. I don't give a fuck. I'm spoiling that shit.
Just look up a picture of Danielle, you guys. I'm sorry. Like,
it ain't gonna happen.
I want to know what else she's acted in, but, like,
no offense, she's a beautiful girl, but it's not model
not
type.
In this, like, series. Like, she was just, like, young. Like,
the hair is bad.
The hair is pretty bad.
It's like that frizzy, like, layered look with the chunky highlights.
I just think they weren't, like, dressing her well.
Well, yeah, and they have her
they
dressed
have her,
as, like a mini
polo.
Brie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, it just wasn't working.
No.
I'm sure that girl is, like, in Vogue or something now. She's a famous actress. Like, we're all, like, hating on it.
Yeah.
All right. This brings us to our favorite time.
I'm so excited.
We're going to do some fuck, marry, kill.
Fuck, marry, kill.
So I can go first this episode.
Do it.
I'm going to fuck Kendra.
Okay.
Because I guess Mike did it.
Yeah. Someone's got to do it.
But Kendra's a hot girl name. The actress was pretty attractive. Mm-hmm. I think that... She also, although she may have never fucked Mike or been interested, she competed tough by giving Susan that line at the end. She's like, ask Mike what he's on with Styria Lane. And that's like some bitchy, like mean girl energy that I did like. And I thought it was kind of hot. I was like, okay, Kendra.
I feel that.
The kill is a little bit harder, but I think I'm going to have to kill Andrew.
Okay.
I don't. Okay. He did commit a hit and run.
He did.
Yeah, a drunken driving hit and run.
Yes.
And then I feel sorry for him, but he could have just owned up to it.
Yeah.
In the moment. I think it was a weak ass move and he committed a heinous crime.
Yeah. No, that shit's brutal.
I can't think of anybody better to kill in this episode right now. And I'm going to marry. That's tough. I think I'm going to, I'm going to keep it classic with a main character. I'm going to marry Lynette.
Okay.
Because she does have pure raw talent. And although I may be dealing with a drug addiction, I think she could, like I said, she's my mentor now. I'm going to marry her because she's my mentor.
Yeah.
She's going to mentor me into my future career of VP. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I could look past the drug addiction right now.
All right, that's fair.
That's fair. I don't know. What are yours?
So I'm going to fuck Edie this episode because the way she rode that bull.
Oh, shit.
I was like, all right, like I can get down.
Yeah.
That was pretty hot. And I don't know. We haven't had a lot of Edie lately, so it was nice to get her in her full form riding that bull. I don't know. Yes. I liked it. I'm gonna marry Bree.
Okay.
Because I think Bree is just like, she is that like peak homemaker wife. And on top of that, if I ever committed a heinous crime on accident, she would be calm, cool, collected, and make sure that we did what we had to do.
Yeah.
So that's what I need in my wheelhouse.
I feel like I know who you're gonna kill. And I'll confirm after you say it.
There's two characters I really want to kill. So I'm having to decide which one I want to like put that label on.
One you hate more.
Yeah. So it's between Gabby and Rex for me this week.
I knew it. Not Rex. I thought you were going to say Gabby.
I'm going to go with Rex. And here's why. I would normally kill Gabby in this if like he wasn't in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have to give her credit for how she handled like the climax of the episode.
Yeah.
Like packing her bag, but then like seeing she has a window of opportunity and handling it. Not that it's okay behavior. Like I said, she's still runner-up for being killed. I'm going to kill Rex, though, because he is pissing me off to, like, the level that I can't handle. I've always fucking... I mean, I hate him. I think that he's super disrespectful. But now on top of that, like, not only is he being a shitty husband, like, how he's treating his kids is, like, I'm going to buy them off, and then when they need me emotionally, I'm not even going to be there for that. Like, I can't handle him. I can't handle the way he talked to Andrew. Those are good points. He's, like, his son is clearly, like... Something's wrong with his son. Like, clearly his son is, like, struggling. And he is not even...
Yeah, his son beat the shit out of someone earlier that week.
Yeah, and then showed up to his house begging him to live with him.
And like, then he bought him a car in the same week.
Yes, like, he is, like, literally turning Andrew into a monster. And I just, like, he needs to be killed off before Andrew gets worse at this point. Andrew's better off with a dead dad than Rex as his father.
I think I can give you two kills this week. Okay. I think you have to kill both of them.
I'm going to have to kill both of them.
One for the PI. You get the extra hit.
Yeah. And then we need to pick a housewife of the week.
That's a tough one to nominate. But although I did kill Andrew, I have to nominate Bree for housewife of
the
week.
I think I have to go with Bree also.
Because that chilling scene at the end where it's just that mom, that's a mom moment. I'm not a mother. I do have a mother.
Yeah.
I have one of those. Yeah, there's just moments where you like see it in your mother's eyes where
they have to do what they have to do.
They'll do whatever for you.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I think that definitely makes her. Yeah, I agree. Bree's our housewife of the week. That's our girl.
We don't even need reasoning. Yeah. You better just watch the episode or watch that scene. It was incredible.
Our Apple rating. I have mine.
Okay. I think I have mine too.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. 4.25. I almost went with 4.25. Damn it.
I didn't want to go too high.
I know. I think I'm going to stick with it. But yeah, I almost went with 4.25.
Yeah, I think last episode I gave a 4. Mm-hmm. This got higher marks because of, I mean, there was incredible acting in the last episode too, but this was beyond that. This was a level up.
I agree. I think that's why like I went with the higher rating because everyone's performance in this episode was like really good.
Yeah, Lynette from the get-go. Yeah. I think even Tom had good acting.
Me too.
I mean, Brie always, but Andrew, yeah. These child actors.
They're really good.
Maybe not Danielle, but
like. but Julie's good in her banter with her mom. And like, I think Susan, like, she played, even though her storyline was maybe a little more like, a little more lighthearted than the other storylines, I think that she still like plays it really, she commits.
Yeah.
And I really liked, I don't know, everybody in this episode was like all in.
Yeah, I liked Susan and Edie and Kendra. I liked the triangle there with Mike. I thought that was an inventive storyline. Yeah. I liked the Saddle Ranch plug again. Mm-hmm. I liked this wild scene at a place out of Wisteria Lane. Yeah. I do enjoy being taken out of Wisteria Lane now and then, I do have to say. I liked the interactions. So we had a lot of interactions between people that wasn't at a group event. Because a couple episodes we've had like the garage sale last time. And I'm like, okay, we get it. Like,
yeah.
There's a big event. But I liked that like Brie went to confront Gabby and like John overhears stuff. Like I kind of like those little things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, all the storylines were heavy hitters. There wasn't really one that was flailing for more content. So 4.25 for me. Oh my gosh, 4.5 and you've seen the whole series.
I know. I really like this episode. I just think a lot of like good stuff happens, iconic moments. I mean, Juanita getting smacked by that car is a pretty big.
Yeah.
And I think like this episode's obviously setting up a lot. Like what's gonna, like we just said, like what's gonna happen with Juanita? What's gonna happen with Andrew? Like what's gonna happen with all these characters? I think this episode didn't feel like filler. Like it felt like a lot happened, but it also felt like it set us up for even better stuff.
Yeah.
And so I really like that.
Also, they figured out Dana's a baby. So
yeah.
What's up with
oh
that?
Yeah. There's that.
And Paul and the PI shaft. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode as much as we did.
Yeah.
And we would love it if you send us your Apple ratings, your Housewife of the Week, your Fuck, Marry, Kill. I love it.
I know. I want people to send us those.
We are so ready for episode 8. I can't even express it. Yeah. We're like getting pretty far along because I think there's 22 episodes in this season. So we are
we're
like
close to the halfway mark.
Yeah, we're getting there. So, I mean, we hope to connect with you guys, but we're going to leave you with that. And as always, if we leave you with one thought, it's to know your neighbors.
Always know your neighbors.